Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afraid of Love Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Dr. Afraid of Love. This is the day that the Lord made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted that each and every one of you are able to join. I have my Los Angeles radio listeners. I have my Texas listeners. I have my Alabama listeners. I have several different newcomers. Thank you so much for listening. We have a steady flow of listeners. I appreciate it so much from all over the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to start by reading Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. And it reads, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I've read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us as you were able to give us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you continue to help us to be the people you want us to be. And bless everything that we say and do to be factual and to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And before we start, we may have music tonight, but before we start, I want to thank each and every one of you. I have already made this public on my YouTube video for joining the award ceremony. I thank you for helping to plan for these particular family events. I thank you for the ability to be able to have a book signing that's coming up, and just all the great things that's coming up, and working with individuals, speaking on platforms. And one of the things that I said, and we're just talking as a family, as friends, one of the things that I said was that I want to make sure I empower other people. I want to make sure that people have hope. I want to make sure that people have dignity. And most of all, I want to make sure that people are treated in a way that they should be, and that is in the light and in the dark as well. And when we speak about these components, it's very important that when you go out to retrieve these books and you go out to listen to the various speaking events that I have, that you are very mindful of how you're treated as a person. Every person on this earth should be treated with dignity. For those of you who are just getting to know me, I am the type of person that each person I run across, those individuals matter. And they play an integral part in things that I do, things that I say, you know, just different things. And when I find that individuals no longer have a part in the call life, then we depart our ways. And what I mean by that is circumstances such as the one that's described in this leadership book, Lead Like You Want to Be Led. And it doesn't matter if I've known you, if I haven't. I always like to make sure that people who are within the circle, they're looking out for the best interest of each person. Equality is not, I want to be very clear when I say this, equality is not for certain people. Equality is not for certain assumptions. When we construct a false perception of someone, then not only are we as a person, whether they say that they have their dignity, and they may, but we as a person, when we're so poor in spirit that we begin taking other people's dignity in order to make ourselves look good, then there is a problem with equality. And so I want you to be very open-minded. We're all human. And we all have different ways of relating and dealing with situations and problems, especially when it's not solved. And so I want you to think about your own life and how you handle things. As I said before when I was reading, because I'm working on teacher retention, I'm working on this program to empower kids all over the world to write and to speak about injustices that includes bullying, whether it's bullying in person or hiding behind a phone, to speak about injustices such as become older, just not, you know, doing those particular things. And so it's very important that we learn those aspects. And give me just a second. Those particular aspects. And so it's very important that we learn how to deal with those mechanisms. Actually, I was taking a call from the radio. Okay, so with these particular aspects, we want to make sure that we are writing in a way that presents facts without emotion. Because if you all know, when you begin to put your emotions into actions, then your perceptions come out. But when you're just straight facts and there are no emotions, void of emotions, you tend to tell the facts, okay? And so I'm working on those particular aspects because when I stand in front of people, this is not a case study, which means that this is not a class, you know, or when I speak to my new teachers as their professor, this is not something that you learn in a book. Matter of fact, this is unheard of. And so when I present this to my students, when I say students, talking about adults, like they're, you know, you're training them to be teachers and you're teaching them about ethics, you know, and you say, I have this scenario, you give them this scenario, and they're problem solving this scenario, and half the class says, you know, and these are adults, of course, say, you know, they said, this person wouldn't be working for me, you know, then you know that there are broken systems, you know, and you don't say, well, this is my story. You present it as a scenario. So with that being said, when we speak about this lead like you want to be led, before, when I was savvy or privy to the conception that this was occurring, when I say this, when I was, for instance, applying for jobs, and I'm very thankful for where I am. I love it. But when I'm speaking about when I was applying, and I had superintendents calling me and telling me that from this particular realm, there were people calling, you know, as I said before, superintendent sister calling different districts. Or when they would call the particular place, the district, then the superintendent wouldn't give a reference. But yet they gave a paper reference, which was actually the correct skills that I had. That was actually correct, and I still have those. So when this was occurring, the way I grew up treating everybody like you want to be treated. I also grew up understanding with my professors and my teachers, understanding that, this is not right. It's not right to lie on people. It's not right to not communicate with people and to try to sabotage their career. And so what I did was, you know, because I want to keep it professional and all that, and I'm not the type that, you know, I was raised right. I'll put it that way. I was raised right. So I wanted to go through the system. And before I did that, I want you to know that I reached out to these people, to the lawyer, to the superintendent. I even went to the school board. Reached out to these people wanting to meet. And it's very important as a leader, it's very important as a person to be able to meet and communicate with people. Okay? It's even in the Bible, in all thy getting, get an understanding, never was communicated with, never received due process, none of that. And so in my mind, from studying and from being a professor, I know that this is not right. When you ask for a meeting and the person who's actually writing the letters, which is the lawyer, to different districts or calling the districts, right, and superintendents can vouch for this, you know, I have several, then I'm like, that's not right. But my mom raised me right as well. She said, you know, she said, if you have questions, she said, ask. She said, go to meetings and ask the questions. Call, see if you can have a meeting. And I did that several times, 5 or 6 times, because I'm not the type, you know, when you hear these names when I'm speaking or you hear these names when I'm writing this book, you would think most people, they're just out for the money. That's not my case. My case is I'm out for justice, not only for me, but for other people, you know, because it's not right. And it's not an indication of who we are. When I say we, people who may look like that, people who may have that same type of degree, one person does not represent everyone, okay? And so, first of all, because we're not on the same page, because I believe in treating others like you want to be treated. Well, anyways, so, you know, because I was raised, I believe in communication, and we talk. You know, I speak to, you know, my family. We talk a lot. We don't, as far as we work through situations. And so several times I reached out, and the person who's writing the letter, of course, the lawyer, says, no, we're not going to even meet. You know, I specifically asked to meet, and this was like in 2017, 2018, specifically asked to do that. So it was like, no, we're not going to meet. And so that tells me that there is a red flag, because if a person's asking about their career, take notes, leaders. If a person's asking about their career, then you want to make sure that you answer all of their questions. Non-confrontational is just asking about the career. Hey, is something going on? You know, I've applied here, and the superintendent's telling me this, and I have this paper here that's a great reference, which is very much my skills. If you ask the parents, if you ask these other people, they will tell you the same thing. So basically, no meeting. So then I said, okay. So I went to the board meeting, right? And I told you at the board meeting, the assistant wasn't there, who was over the personnel and part of this conspiracy and all that. So I went there and I spoke before the board and the superintendent. I kept it very professional. You know, I said, if there's anything that I need to know, anything that's occurring, to know that I wanted to be communicated with me. So they understood that, and I even sent an email to the superintendent. I said, I'm just following up with you. I said, you know, I want to be finished. I want to be released. This was already after, and I haven't gotten to this part, after an agreement was made that basically we were finished. Basically, you was going to tell the truth when employers called, because I spent 9 years. All of these things, you know, the agreement was there. We signed it. And when we sign an agreement, that's it, right? It's supposed to be. But it's on and on and on and on, even to this day. So with that, even with the agreement, you signed it, we've notarized it, that tells me that, once again, I can't trust you, because we signed this, and then people are still telling me that you're giving them false information. Lawyers still writing letters that, you know, basically something's owed. Basically, they owe me and all this stuff, because they know the board voted. That's another thing. So with all that, went to the board meeting, you know, just to speak, what have you. And I was the only one there, of course. So it was very, I could be more transparent, because I don't like to have, especially with something like that, you know, audiences, because people feed off of that. And it really doesn't matter whether I have an audience or not. The whole point was, I want you to leave me alone and stop calling people, and I want you to be truthful. So with that being said, so that occurred. And then so I went about my life or what have you. And I was, mind you, I was still a professor or what have you. And so I went to this other city. And this other city basically, you know, was hired to this other city. So the superintendent's sister and some other people called, right? In this situation that I have no idea, no information, they called and shared this, you know, I'm the superintendent, you know. And so, and then the lawyer, of course, also vouched for this, which was untrue. And so there was another missed opportunity. So as you can see, we're starting to get into legal things now, legal issues. So by that time, I'm thinking, I said, oh, my gosh. I said, I want to do the right thing. I'm a Christian. I said, and I want to utilize the skills that God has given me, because I'm not ignorant. My mama didn't raise a fool. I'm not, you know, ghetto. So I went to the system, the court system. Went to that small court system. And some of the names I put on that paper, people had some raised eyebrows, and so did I, but it's true. And from that, of course, as I said before, the lawyer wrote a letter again, and she also had a representative. She wrote a letter or what have you. And in the small court, they said, well, we can't take this. It was always passed the buck. Now, mind you, with the small court, one of the persons who's involved in the conspiracy, who happens to be the superintendent's cousin, they also have a cousin who works within the courthouse, right? So that's another, you know, disadvantage, but the advantage is that I can utilize my skills of writing, which it should have passed, but it didn't, because they was like, the amount of monies that's requested, the amount of damage that they did is way more than what the court has. So then, because of that, you know, nobody wanted to write past the buck, so then I went to the big court, right? So the big court, you know, we were successful for about 2 weeks, and of course, some of the people involved in the conspiracy, you know, they was basically writing that they didn't and all this stuff, which everyone knows they did, and we have people who know that. And the lawyer wrote another letter. The lawyer said that she was paying, you know, that they're paying and that this is over, nobody's arguing, none of that stuff. And so that letter's still there. And so with this, okay, and then so I receive a letter that is dismissed, and it's dismissed, and the reason now is because they were talking about the location, the territory, okay, some bogus stuff, because she had wrote this letter that basically says, we're paying her, it's over, nobody's, you know, once again, a lawyer writing letters, fraud, basically. So I was thinking to myself, you know, and so I tried to get creative. I was like, let me see, what state can I go to? You know, I was literally going to move to another state just so that I could, a state that actually has ethics, a state that, or a city even that would take this, because it's so, to me, it's unethical, and you can't do this, you know, voiding checks and things and all that, and you owe monies to an employer and all that stuff. So I was thinking, okay, and plus, you know, my mom was like, you know, she was like, you know, we're going to pray to God about it, and I said, yeah, and she, you know, I want to have the faith that my mom has. And I'm the type of person that I don't like to leave anything undone. You know, I trust God. I believe in God. And this is human. We all do. And God doesn't need any help. God says you have to help yourself. You have to take action. You have to do something to help yourself. So when the court system failed, right, and I was speaking to other people, and they act like these actions were right for people for lawyers to write on legal documents and to call employers, because the whole purpose was not the fact that the board voted and they supposed to pay, or the board voted and they were supposed to provide a job. That wasn't the case, because I'm happy. I was happy as a professor. I'm happy where I'm at. The point is that you're still calling people. The point is that, and not only were they calling employers, they're calling churches, you know, they're calling the church, and they're calling these other people, which is very disturbing. And not only that, now you have a whole conspiracy because your cousin, and you've allowed it. The lawyer said, as long as you pay, then you can argue the case, which you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't try to create a chaotic environment. And even with that, you know, even with that particular aspect, nobody from the board, from the cadre, from the superintendent's cadre, nobody stepped up and said, hey, guys, this is wrong, you know, although I was already told about the vote, and they didn't know that. I was already told about the vote. And so when you have individuals who are cloaking like that, then you have to still do what's right, right? And so that's how we got to the point where we're in the book. So I had a company who basically provided documentation to these individuals, and they did sign it, you know, some of these big names, because it's true. It's nothing made up, and it's not just, oh, I just want attention. No, actually, it's the opposite. You know, I want something done, because I don't want this to happen to other people. And what you get out of this, and I just gave you a brief sketch of what that was, but the reason why the system was messed up is because the lawyer abused her power. And because when you have a superintendent that says nothing is going on and it is, then, of course, automatically, because of your position and because of the ethical code that all of us are under, especially superintendents, especially when you talk about lawyers, those particular ethics, you know, it's particular ethics, and when we cannot maintain those ethics, right, then it's chaotic. It's chaos. These people are not even employed. You know, it's people not employed, literally, and people who are not employed and has nothing to do with it. But because you breached confidentiality, and that's another reason, and because you breached my rights, my civil rights, then that's why I initiated that. And I'm that type of person. When I wrote all that, I wanted to see all those people, and it was just me. I'm not the type of person that pulls people into stuff like that. That's not what leaders do. Leaders protect the people in their organizations by standing in the gap for them. They don't put them in the line of chaos, you know, whether it's their former employees or their employees now. And so it was just me, and I had like 10 or 12 people, and I was ready to utilize my skills, speaking skills, and my reasoning skills, and my ethical codes that I have and that I live by, as well as my biblical and spiritual aspects, that this is not right. I don't care if Miss King is standing right there. I don't care what her daddy represented and what she represented. This is wrong. Doesn't matter if Ernest is standing here. Don't care what he sings, whatever. This is wrong. This is superintendent. Don't care. They're still human, and we still have standards, and we still have a right to treat people like we want to be treated. And not telling somebody about something that you made up that's not even true, you know, and you're allowing this, and they actually call, you know, for example, they'll say, her sister, I paid her sister, so therefore, you know, you can't tell her or you're not calling. And it's not about calling. I don't need you calling me, especially if you're stealing from me. I need you to basically do what you do right. That's it. And that I think that's reasonable for every person, you know. And so that's what it is. You know, for instance, if they recruit somebody else, they'll call the superintendent, assistant superintendent, lawyer. We have somebody else. We just pay somebody else, so they have all these sponsors. The reason why you hear some of these big household names is because they have sponsors. And that's what have you get a whole bunch of people involved, right? Whether it's preachers, and just because a preacher, you recruit a preacher doesn't mean a preacher's right. I've seen preachers who sin, right? I've seen sinners who do right. So when the system fails, you know, because my mom taught us right, and I always want to do right, you know, when a system failed, then I went to writing. And I wanted to make this a way in which my students that I teach, and I'm speaking about adults, I only present my adult students because they're going out into that field, and it's some sharks out there like this. It's some people that's not ready to lead because they don't know how to communicate as far as let people know things, and they are not ethical. They're money hungry. You have people out there who's just working just for the money. They don't care about the people. They care about some people they don't. And when you get to that point, you probably need to just work with computers. But there's a standard that you have to treat people like you want to be. You have to lead like you want to be treated. And that's the whole point. When I get to these presentations, I'm not going to say what I think. These are facts. This is what happened. These are the ethical codes. And all of them almost was broken. And writing letters to the court because you don't want to face the person because you know you're wrong, that is unethical as well. Right? And so it's a game. You know, so this person, her cousin, well, I'm paying so-and-so, or this is so-and-so. And some of that is true. But they're telling you, and you know this. And that's unethical. This is your sister. This is your brother. This is your mom. This is whoever. They're telling you. So you do know. You're not in the dark, you know. But my plight is this book, and it's going to be professional. It's not going to be, you know, when I journal on paper, when I journal, that's where I put what I really think, you know, unfiltered. And that's what you have to get those things out of the way so that you can go ahead and give the facts. Once you get, and those are called your feelings, once you get your feelings out of the way, you can tell the facts. And it's not right. And like Whitney said, it's not right and it's not okay. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been leading. It's just not. And so we don't, you know, that's, we don't mess with people's, as leaders, effective leaders, you don't mess with people's careers as far as intentionally trying to sabotage them and then fabricating or coming up with a lie, right? And then another thing that you want to do as a leader is you have a school board, okay? Your school board, you should have a good relationship with your school board, but your school board should hold you accountable. When they vote for something, that's it. You don't bring your own agenda to the table, right, and override what they've already done. Now, of course, before, you know, you know, let, hey, I'm considering this or whatever, but as far as when your board votes, I don't care how much they like you, how long they've known you, that's just not how it is. There are bylaws for the board, right? And they're the governing body. They're your bosses. So if you don't follow what your bosses do, why should you expect your subordinates to do the same thing? And that's how some of them think. You know, and some of them are like me. You're going to do what you're supposed to do regardless. But some people, well, they voted, and she's letting them, you know, do whatever. So why should we have to comply with our boss? You're setting a bad example. That's, once again, not being in the right place that you're supposed to be in. I don't care how long you've been there. People are just not, it's just no accountability. And so my perspective and my experience is totally different from somebody else's, right? And I've been very blessed to be in the midst of some of the best superintendents, some of the best teachers, some of the best professors. There's some of the best. And I've never in my life seen anything like this, right? And so you don't understand the experience or the perspective because it's not you. You don't understand that this is not ethical. So the people who were in the conspiracy that was being paid, they think it's okay because this is my advantage. But really you're stealing because the board voted, whether it's on paper or not. I was already told that the board voted. I was already told that a check was voided. This is, all of this is unethical and it's illegal, right? And so with this aspect, you know, we write about producing effective leaders. And it's not bad-mouthing. This is just facts that happen. You know, all of those feelings and everything are gone. Those choice words are gone. These are facts. The board voted. They're your boss. And these people don't even work in the – how is Ms. King involved? Does she work for – I mean, was she working there and I just missed it? How is all these people from all over the world involved, people that you don't even know? How is that? And they're using a cell phone, and you haven't even made communication with the person. And this is the person's private time. How is that legal? Then another thing another route was that I spoke to the educational agency, the highest person up there, sent an email. I believe his name is Mr. Mike, right? Nothing. She sent another letter to them, you know, then wanting to speak with her through the agencies. She sent a letter to them. If they look in their files, they'll see all these letters. And then so because they were able, so this is a domino effect, and I want y'all to listen because this happens to people who also bully. What happens is so they can get away with it. So now you have these celebrities, people writing letters, people paying people, right? Because why? Nobody's doing anything. There's no accountability, right? You have that. And so all this illegal stuff is going on, yet it's acceptable to do. So I'm thinking in my mind, it's acceptable. So this is the new standard, and it's not. It's not the new standard. It's just that, unfortunately, there are crooked people. You know, even in the small courts, you know, even in the small courts, she's written so many letters. If the agencies, State Board of Education, all of these agencies, if they would look in their files, they will see her letters. Courthouse, you'll see her letters. Different districts, you'll see her letters. And it's all lies. All of it. Nobody has told me anything. Nobody has called me. It's just not even true. And these are the people that we have to make sure that people know about, because it's not right. And this may not be the popular thing, but it's the right thing. And I've made a choice that I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to speak out against what's wrong, because it's not right. It's not right to do somebody like that, and it's not right to try to sabotage somebody's career. And like I told you before, the night before, I said, even though I know 90% of the people who have plotted this, right, I wouldn't dare do that to anyone, because it's childish and it's unprofessional, and I'm not a jealous person. You know, none of these people are employed under her, right? These are just sponsors, or these are people who utilize this as a way to make money. And now we have a high unemployment rate because they're using this to make money from individuals like Steve, from individuals like Bernice, from individuals like Ernest, from those individuals, Magic, all those people. And so it's not right, because these people shouldn't even be involved. First of all, this is supposed to be confidential. And second of all, a civil right, if you look at it, it tells you how tainted and crooked this is. No board should vote on a person's civil right. No board. So you already know that there is some crookedness going on. You already know that there is some fraud going on. You already know that there is a lack of integrity going on, because while a board, your civil right is your civil right. When you look at the website of most of these organizations, they have a discrimination policy. That's what one organization who does, and they've breached it. How are you going to vote on somebody's civil rights? That doesn't make any sense. Voted. They voted on the civil rights. 6-1. Okay, that's my civil rights. Why are you voting on it? You understand what I'm saying? So first of all, this is all. None of this should be, because that's, you can't vote on somebody's civil rights. That's number one. If you look in the bylaws, if you ask anyone who's actually ethical and knowledgeable, if you ask the good superintendent or you ask the good person who's over the agency, over any agency, can you vote on somebody's civil rights? The answer is no. That is their civil rights. Right? Writing letters. How do they even know, such as King or such as Ernest, how do they even know about my civil rights? How do they know that? And they're way out in the, I know King, Ernest is like a normal person. That's why he's trying to get fans through. Yeah, that's his method of trying to get fans through this method. Okay, but she's in the millions place. Why is she involved? I don't understand. How is she able to write something on my civil rights? Right, using your influence, the intent. Right, we have freedom of speech, but what was your intent? Your intent was to prevent a job. Your intent was to try to destroy character. So it's not about you writing. So what was your intent? So my intent for writing is to make it known and produce knowledge and to help others. You're not going to see me on here talking about her civil rights. I don't know what she does, and it's none of my business. I don't know what Ernest does, and it's none of my business. You're not going to see me write a letter about anything or write a book about anything about anybody's civil rights. That is not my place. My place is to take care of me. My place is to take care of my civil rights. My place is to make sure that people understand my value, to understand who I am, not some letter, not some lie that has been constructed, not some allowable thing that the superintendent and the lawyer has allowed for people to pay bribery. You know, I don't know what they thought, that I was just going to sit here and be quiet. That's not going to happen. I'm a nice person, but I do speak out when I know about it. That's another thing. You know, applying for positions, and we have this agreement, and your sister's calling, or they call you, and you're making up something. I'm not going to sit and be quiet about it. I'm going to write about it. Right? And so that's just human nature, you know. And so with this particular aspect, it's very important. I always pray before I get on this particular radio, because I ask God that I want to make sure that I'm very transparent, but I want to be real. Things happen. There are sharks out there, sharks that look like you, sharks that don't. This is the very first time I've never had any problems with anyone, right? Never had anything. Everything's been great. I'm not the type of person that runs to the courthouse. I'm not the type of person that runs tattling. But when things are not right, okay, I can write. I can use my skills of writing when systems are broken, when leaders are unethical. I can use my system of writing. I can use my speaking skills. That's things that I have. I like what Whitney says. I connect with her so much. You can take everything away, but you can't take away my dignity. All that stuff that they did, I still have high self-esteem. I still believe in myself. I still have my faith. I'm not depressed. I'm happy. All those people, I'm her cousin. We're blood. No, we're not. I can live with you or I can live without you. Because you're not one of the main characters in my life, in my story. And you never was. The only way that you have tried to force yourself in is by saying you my cousin or you my this or that. Once again, I can live with you or I can live without you. Either way it goes, I'm going to make it. Because there are other people waiting in line. And so that's how I feel. So as far as all of this other stuff, you know, it's just mundane. And so as we get into the book, I'm going to continue writing my pages. But as we get into the book, we're going to explore what leadership is. Now, this whole book is not going to be about this foolishness. Okay? The book is going to start out with this scenario. I'm going to give you, you know, what God showed me was, you know, my table of contents. I give you my story, my experience, and then I talk about leadership, right? And I give you what I disseminated to these people, and I give you what effective leadership is. Nobody wants to read about ineffectiveness because that's what this is. Nobody wants to read the whole book about a conspiracy. We all know that. But that's the highlight. And so people need a background of what motivated me to write a leadership book of lead like you want to be led. What happened to me? What happened in my life that made me do this? You know? And so when you have all of these individuals, you know, and you have the green light from the lawyer and from the superintendent and assistant superintendent and the cadre to act a fool and to make up stuff, make up a lie, right, so that you can get paid as a superintendent, as a lawyer, your cousin too and everybody else, from sponsors, and they're probably getting a chip off of that too because, you know, you still see some of these celebrities still soliciting money for their organizations, right? So if they were really billionaires or what have you, you wouldn't see them asking for donations. They would be giving donations, okay? So with that being said, you know, we understand the story. I gave you a synopsis. Tomorrow we'll talk about, we'll go into depth about how writing came into the play. But yeah, I just want you to know that the systems are broken. If those systems that I told you about look in their files, they'll see a letter from her. Districts. One time, it was one district that I'm going to write about. Only applicant, right? It's going to be hired. And the lawyer called. Another district was going to be hired. The lawyer called. I was told that by the principals. And the principal, why would they lie? They don't have a reason to. Because I was wondering, because I always want to get better, right? And I'm thankful. I don't have any complaints, nothing, as far as where I'm at. I'm thankful, and I'm happy, and we have good leaders. But I'm saying those missed opportunities before God blessed me to where I'm at, all of those things that they did. It wasn't about, you know, although the board is the governing body, that's really stealing, and that's bribery, and that's fraud. It wasn't even about that for me. It should be about that for the state and for accountability, but for me it wasn't about that. It was about after the fact that you still try to sabotage my career because you brought your own agenda, because you have your own bias, and because you made up something that's not true. And that's the part that this book is about, because people do that. And because of your position, you have abused your power in my eyesight because it happened to me. It doesn't matter what other people think because it didn't happen to you. But to me, you've abused your power. Any time that you write a letter on a legal document about somebody's career, then, and it's not true, for as saying, well, we're paying and nobody, that's fraud. That's a legal document that you just lied on. I don't care who you are. You can be a lawyer, you can be a preacher, whoever. You lied. Period. You know? Or somebody call you, there's nothing going on there. Yeah, it is. This is your cousin. You're getting paid too. You know? And so all of those particular things, you know, you have to be mindful of, because you have people like that. And that's only about 1%, because most people, like I said, do the right thing, especially when they get to that level. Most. Never in my life have I seen anything like this. Bribery, lying, embezzling, and withholding. Never in my life. But it goes back to accountability. And all those organizations, once again, if you look, you'll find those letters that she wrote, several. And she's doing it on purpose. This is not, and she's one of the ones that had a paper as well, the lawyer. You're doing it on purpose. You signed this agreement, and you're still calling people, and you're not being truthful. You shouldn't even be in the picture. You're a third party, right? Now, you shouldn't even be in the picture. You're a third party. It is not your job to call people and write letters to people that are fake, that are false, and we have this agreement, period. But you did, because why? Because the system, accountability system, there is none. Nobody's holding her accountable, right? And so, therefore, I have to, by writing, letting people know the true facts, the true story that you haven't heard. I call it a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. A group of people, one person, you know, you're not attacking them physically, but you're attacking their character. You're trying to attack or sabotage their career, and half of those people I don't even know. The other people were kin. You're not kin to me. You don't play a major part in my life. You're just here for the money because of these sponsors. That's why you're using my name. I don't want to see you, and you're not kin to me. That's how it is. Point blank. So with that, you know, we ask from a scale of 0 to 10, what is the value? It's 0, because you're not adding anything. You're trying to take away. Matter of fact, you have. And I don't care, you may not call it stealing, but I do. From where I come from the background that I have, how my mama raised me, any time that you owe somebody something, you don't give it, that's stealing. That's stealing, period. That's just how I was raised. Paying people to try to block somebody for a job, you can have that. I'm happy where I am, but don't be calling, you know, they was calling the current person, calling them. Why? Why are you calling them? Why are you calling the other people? I don't understand. That type of stuff, that type of childish stuff. You know, and so in that book, that's what the gist is about. It's about growing up. You know, it's about leadership. Leadership is all about growing up and having your cousin who's not working, who's using this as his business. No, you know, that doesn't make any sense, right? So that's just basically the big idea of this book, big idea. And then you want to pretend like you're not doing anything. And you're the main one that has given the approval. You're the main one that went against your board. Whether they did this in secret or in public, they voted in public, and they may be doing some things in secret as well from my research and understanding. Getting paid as well. Sons getting paid, you know. So when you look at the whole realm, you have a lot of unethical things. And when people are unethical, they don't hold people accountable because they're unethical as well. So with that, you know, your vote in public counts. These are your bosses. Doesn't matter what you think in private, but your vote in public counts. counted, or it should have. That's what 99.9% of organizations go on to vote. They don't vote on something, then all of a sudden change it because you brought your own agenda. Doesn't make any sense. You know? But that's the whole big picture, the big idea. But I prayed about the book, and, you know, I focused on civil rights as well, but God showed me something. He said, tell the people your experience. Write about your experience. People like real-life experiences. That's how, you know, when you speak, people are able to connect. Because you're not a speaker up there saying, I heard, or I studied this in school, or somebody told me, this is my story. And because this is my story, this is my book right here. Lead like you want to be led. Then go into your book about the ethics of leadership and all of that. Because we're not going to focus 100-something pages on ineffective misbehavior, ineffective, unethical, fraud, stealing. Nobody wants to read all that, right? And you definitely don't want any of your employees to go through that foolishness. But you do want them to be aware. And as a supervisor, as a leader, as a superintendent, as a principal, as someone who has subordinates, you want to make sure that you treat them right. That's part of retention. Retention sometimes is not about finances. It's about how you treat me. And I'd rather be happy, right, than to just have galores of things. I have to be happy. I have to be content. I have to be satisfied. If I'm not happy, then I need to go find somewhere where I am. That's the most important thing to me. Or being satisfied. But you as a leader, you as a someone, a role model, right, you have to understand the difference between their life and their work. Whatever they choose to be, as long as it's not a crime, or choose to do, as long as it's not a crime, it's none of your business. And getting your cousin and whoever else says that they're their cousin, that's unethical. And it's really none of your business either, especially when it's adults. All the time when it's adults, you know. And none of these people that you have in the conspiracy work for you or have and has nothing to do with it. And besides that, you haven't even spoken to the person. So that's unethical. And it wouldn't be so bad if you wasn't still having these people, right, such as your sister, calling different employers, right, or getting people to throw rocks in people's cars and break their windows. So with that, it's very important that we understand what is to lead. It's very important that we do that. You have to understand what it is. And some people are just not ready because they don't know that every person, right, every person should play a huge role in your life, that you serve every person, your subordinates, every single person. This is not like a regular scheme of things, you know. This is not like life. In life, right, you can have characters, and you can also say goodbye. It's a season. Some people stay in your life forever. And some people will come in seasons. I've met some of the most talented, best people in my life. And there's some people that I said, I have to keep you. I have to keep you. I have to keep you in my life. I have to. And some people, goodbye, because you cause too much confusion and you're chaotic. And those people who are involved in the conspiracy, Africa Love's cousin, it's a goodbye. It's not a see you later. It's goodbye. Because you're doing nothing but causing havoc. Right? And if people are causing havoc in your life and causing problems, you need to tell them bye. And that's forever. Right? And so that's how it is. You have to learn. You have to get to that point. So in the conference, when we have those speaking gigs, you have to learn to tell people bye. You don't have to sit there and argue. You don't have to sit there and be upset. You know, you don't have to pretend. Just tell them bye. That's it. And when you say goodbye, that's what you mean, just like with me. With that agreement, I said goodbye. But you still want to play around and you still want to call people. No, it's not going to work like that. And I'm supposed to sit here and be quiet. That's not going to happen. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to tell my story on forums. I'm not going to go back and forth with you, right? Because I'm professional, right? And I have respect for myself, and I have dignity, and I have pride. I want to write a book. I'm intelligent. I have skills, okay? I have language that I can utilize that you didn't utilize, and you try to keep it a secret, and it's not a secret. As small as this town is and as much as people talk, okay? So with that, you have to tell people goodbye. Whether they want to go or not is bye. Goodbye. Don't want to see you again. Don't want to talk to you again because you cause too much confusion. You in too much stuff. They call them busybodies. This has nothing to do with you. It really has nothing to do with any of your conspiracy, superintendent, lawyer, none of you. This is my private time. This is my civil rights. And how you going to vote on that? That's another thing. How you going to vote on somebody's civil rights? You know? So you have to look at all those different aspects, and you have to make sure, you know, because some of those things, when you take your test, some of those things on there, and they have violated. If you was to follow or if any of these people were your mentors, you would fail. I'm telling you. Because every single ethical code, every single board policy, every single thing they have basically went against it, broken every rule. That's why I had to start over. I said, I do not want to be taught like this, right? Since I, you know, this is, I said, I don't want that. So I started over, joined another program. Now, they called that program. By that time, people are hip to what they're doing. See what I'm saying? Calling and just being childish, you know. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the program. But I just started over. I said, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to lead like this. I don't want to treat people like this. I don't want to break every ethical code. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want my sister to be almost calling and being childish, calling jobs. And, you know, when you have radio guests, she's calling them and everything. I don't want that. Being ghetto, unprofessional, like you just money hungry, like you don't have. I don't want that, you know. And so with that, you know, you have to find people who are not so money hungry, and who have ethics, and who don't embezzle and withhold, and who actually have some discipline and follow their board. That's what you want. Because if you don't, and you listen to those people, when it's time for you to take your test, when it's time for you to deal with people, you're going to be doing all kinds of stuff. Why? Because these people got away with it, right? They got away with it in the system. They got away with it in the court system. They got away with it in the law system. They got away with it in the school system. They got away with it in the agency system, right? But in the book system, I'm going to tell my skills and my knowledge because I want you to understand the truth. You're going to have to unlearn some stuff. Those people who are involved in the conspiracy, they think it's right. Oh, I'm getting paid. But in the long run, you're going to lose more than you're stealing. People don't believe that because they don't see God and they don't think God is watching, right? And they probably say, well, she's a Christian, and all this is happening. Yeah, I'm a Christian. All this is happening, but God is still blessing me. God is still keeping me. God is still helping me where I can help other people. God is still blessing me educationally, financially, career-wise, speaking business-wise. He's still blessing me. So, yeah, I'm a Christian. And, yeah, this is occurring, but this is only a season. You're going to lose more than what you're stealing, period. That goes for lotty-dotty everybody. If I was doing that, the same thing applies to me. I'm no different. God has no respect to person. Don't care if you're the superintendent. Don't care if you're Dr. King's child. Don't care if you supposedly a gospel singer. Don't care who you are. Talk show host, whatever you are. You're going to reap what you sow. Is it going to come to you tomorrow? Probably not. But it's going to come back to you. Right? So you got to be careful. We all got to be careful what we do, what we say. And once again, the bottom line is what you need to understand is people's personal life and their work life. And a board, just so you'll know, and it'll be in the book, cannot vote on somebody's civil rights. A board cannot. So that that gives you a hint at where I'm coming from. People not even employed. Where's the paperwork at that something's going on, but yet you writing to school districts. You calling school districts. You a third party now. You calling the school districts. Where's the paperwork? Did you even tell a person? And then you told these people you can because you thought I wouldn't find out. That's what you thought, but I did. And that's why I'm going to write this book. And I have a right to write the book because it's not right. And people need to know the truth. We have people who are aspiring leaders, and we definitely don't want them to follow in this particular path because it's not right. And as far as this extra stuff, this is my experience. I'm going to write a book about it, and that's it. The facts. There is no emotions, nothing. I don't feel bad. I'm her cousin. No, you're not. It's bye-bye. I'm not seeing you again. I don't have anything to say to you. There is no hard feelings. There is no anger. There is no sadness. Because anything, anyone that causes disruption, I don't have time for it. Too busy. Right? So that's how it is. And that's how it's going to be. So that's it for today. We are going to have our gospel music on tomorrow. I've had several individuals who called. What else questions? So I answered your questions as I was speaking. Let's see, did I miss any? How many pages? It'll probably be about, let me look real quick. It'll probably be about 100, maybe 120 pages, but I tell you what, it's not going to be, it's not going to be all about this conspiracy, all about the ineffectiveness. If this was someone who was effective, if this was someone who was good, then I would make it mostly about this. But this is a bad practice. And it's going to be new superintendents and new people who actually read this book. And that's why it's going to be, that's why no feelings are in it. Nothing that's not right is going to be in it. It's going to be straight facts. And it's going to be professional because, like I said, new people are going to be reading this book. And what do I look like saying all of this stuff because of my feelings, because of how, I mean, because I could think of some words. You understand what I'm saying? I'm human. I could think of some words because of how it was handled, because of the process, because of what you try to do after we sign the agreement. You're still bothering me and my career. So I could think of some words, but I'm not. It's going to be facts. It's going to be professional. We're going to go by the ethical code. You know, you never, and it's a big no-no, you never vote on somebody's civil rights. That's ignorance. And that tells you what type, what we're dealing with, you know. And so, you know, because you, I mean, whatever person, their religion, their sex, whatever, that's them. That is none of your business. As long as they're not committing a crime and as long as they're doing their job, it's the rest of that stuff is none of your business. And if any system was correct, this wouldn't be, right? There would be a vacancy. You see what I'm saying? And even when I pose these questions to my graduate students, they said this person wouldn't be working for me. Exactly. But when you have broken systems, what do you do? None of them could say anything. None of them could give me a professional answer when it's your sister, when the systems are broken, court systems, agency systems, those systems. Nobody could give me an answer. The room went silent. And these are adults who are going into the field. Every last one of them went silent. I said, what are you going to do? And I said, it's one word, and they was looking. Everyone was looking in anticipation. I said, you write. They said, what? I said, write. You write a book, and you change that horrible story into something positive to help empower other people to be able to have grit and strength in order to handle sharks such as this. Period. Right? And that's it. You're right. You don't act out of character. You don't, you know, you know, you're thinking of words. I mean, we're human. Come on. We're human. We're not perfect. You're thinking of words, but at the end of the day, you want to be professional and you want to write about it. You want to write a award-winning book. You want to tell your story, right, and say, hey, this really happened, because people are not going to believe it because of the people who was involved, which is very odd to me, okay? But you have to learn how to use your skills when systems, you can't depend on systems. Systems will fail you. But it's not the systems, it's the people within the systems. You know, we have commissioners who think it's okay, who maybe think it's okay because of the made-up lie. You know, people don't really research anymore. They really believe a lie. You know, so you've created this lie as a leader, and you're living this lie. You're pretending like this is real when the person told you this is not real. You know, they've told her several times. They told the lawyer. They told everyone this is made up. It's a lie. But you still go along with it. What do? Right? And so you write. That's what you do. And that's a very important skill. And I really think my third grade teacher, and I tell people all the time, didn't look like me, but she took out time. She realized, she said, you know, you have a gift, you're gifted, and I want to work with you. She said, you're a great writer. She said, you're animated. You have great writing techniques. She told me that, and she really pulled out the best in me. And so with this, you know, when you think about it, it's not about the money that's been stolen. It's not about the job that you never told about. It's about what you did, what you and your conspiracy did afterwards. And you shouldn't have. You know. And then that becomes the question, since y'all asked again, that becomes the question of what do you do when you have to put these people as contacts, not references. You don't have to use them as references, but contacts, and this is her sister. Or these have access, and every time they have access, this information is given out, and these people are calling. And then, or if they call, they're not being honest. But here are the references, is a accurate account of what I can do in my skills. What do you do about that? What do you do when you have these huge titles? I'm the superintendent, I'm the lawyer, I'm this and that. What do you do? And you're only, what, the AP, or you're only the teacher, or you're only, what do you do? You're right. But guess what? The good thing about it, as the Lord is showing me, is that somebody told me, they said, far and in between, it's only probably about 0.1% people who are in leadership positions or like that. And I believe it, because I've been all over this, all over Texas, and I've been to other states working with teachers. I had the opportunity to do that as a consultant, okay? And I still do it sometimes, but I'm happy where I am. So, but every now and then, I may do a training. Like, I was in Florida probably about a couple months ago on a Saturday, just giving a parent workshop, PTO, you know. That was part of it. So they call me back every now and then and say, hey, can you come on the weekend? We'll fly you up here to put you in the room. You know, it's a workshop from 8 to 12, okay? I'm back on the plane at 4 o'clock out there. There's still teachers out there. Everybody's not like this. And it's only, like you said, 0.1% people who are like that. So that is it. So I appreciate you guys listening and joining. And, I appreciate you all for joining, and I want you guys to have a blessed night. We're going to see if anyone else sent anything else about menus. Now, you know I'm looking up healthy stuff as well, but let me see if anyone said anything about menus. Give me just a second. And how is everyone doing? And did you guys receive, did you guys receive our information about the place for our family get together by Christmas? Okay. Let's see here. Give me just a second. Give me just a second. Okay. So, here we go. All right. Let me see if I can pull it up on our spreadsheet. All righty. So we have about 8 more entries. We're going to have turkey sliders, buffalo chicken sliders, barbecue beans, potatoes, pasta salad, tomato pie. Ooh, tomato pie. Somebody have to tell me about that. I will take your word for that tomato pie. Let's see. We'll have a food bar. We will have, what else is this? Oh, so on that Wednesday is our taco day. Actually, Tuesday. Tuesday is our taco day. We're going to see who can make the biggest tacos. We have extra, if you look it up, in Louisiana, we have the extra large taco shells. Just go ahead and type it in if you have your cell phone or you have your computer. I mean, they're extra large, like they're extra, yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So we're going to have a taco day. And let me see what else. I was asking about breakfast, and we're going to have omelets in a bag. And we're going to have strawberries and cream French toast. We're going to have peaches and cream cinnamon rolls. Breakfast casserole, Cajun grilled packets, we already have that, lasagna, pizza, pasta, salad, fruit dip, yes, I love fruit, good, I was looking for that, chocolate and caramel cake, we're going to have that, let's see here, what else? Did anyone else submit anything? I wonder. Let's see. Hamburgers and hot dogs, of course. Breakfast burritos. Okay, I think that is it for today. That's all we have. And then I'm trying to see if anyone else put any more activities. Okay. Let's see here. Just making sure a coral basis. Let's see. We already said that. Scavenger hunt, water balloon toss. Okay. So some other people are going to come up. Tug of war, yes. Sack race, twister. All right, so we added those. All right, so I think we have everything. And so I really appreciate you all for listening. Be sure to come back on tomorrow, blogtalkradio.com/freetolove, blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. And also make sure that you check out my YouTube page under Free to Love. Make sure you connect with me. If you want to be on an international radio show, my email is emonya_love@yahoo.com. Once again, it's emonya_love@yahoo.com. I'm waiting on some of the guests to confirm. We'll have some guests who will be on the show. In addition to that, continue to pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your friends and those you know and those you do not know. So just make sure you pray for everyone. As far as events, if you have an event that you have coming up, please be sure to let me know at emonya_love@yahoo.com. We have some family members who did a great job on in dancing. Yes, yes, yes. And dancing, we appreciate that, and we're going to put that in our newsletter. Also, I wanted to share with you, let's see. Give me just a second. I wanted to show you an invitation. Give me just a second. Okay. There will be a dance competition that some people in our family and some of our, some of our family will be participating in. Let me see if this is it. Give me just a second. Okay. We're going to have a large group. The early rate is $45. There are four categories, junior, teen, senior. We have 50 minutes. Scoring, they're going to score us on technique, execution, showmanship, choreography. And the music, we have to make sure that it's uploaded because they're not going to have, we have to make sure the music is uploaded. That's all it is to it. And let's see here, what else do you have to know? My little cousin's on here too. So we have our little dance team. So on January 28th through the 30th, we will have our group in Dallas, Texas, and we plan on taking the first place spot. So look out for us as we will be in Dallas, Texas. I will be there that Friday night and that Saturday, God's will. And then we have also Atlanta, Georgia. We have Jacksonville, Florida. This is all during the break. Long Island, New York. Okay, so, and then we have Orlando, Florida, Costa Rica, and this is all during, like, the summer, like, the weekend, and then Los Angeles. So be sure to mark that on your calendar. But as I said before, Atlanta, January 7th through the 9th, and then Dallas, January 28th through the 30th. Let's see here. And so not only will I be there as, you know, our girls coach and thing like that, but I'll also be there as media. So let's see. Let me see. And I think we have another date. Okay, my cousin's putting this up here. Because her daughter, the reason why she knows it is because her daughter. And then they haven't sent me the schedule yet. So at Kendall Performing Arts Center in June 20 through the 26th, we have the opportunity, our group has the opportunity to win $25,000 in prizes. And this is the dance competition, okay? So we have to make sure that our moves are crisp and that we're in line. Let me see here. Give me just a second. Okay, one of my cousins put, it's for the kids, it's not for me. Yeah, I'm not competing, I'm actually coaching. So meet us at the Will Rogers Center. I have five of my little cousins who are going to be competing. They're on my team. They're actually in my dance school. So be sure to do that. And then also be sure to come to our competition. We really appreciate it. So let me see. I think that's it. So I will keep you posted with this because we do have the dance competition. Be sure to look on YouTube under our Free to Love. I am not competing, actually. Like I said, I'm coaching our girls and family members, you know. We have five family members, but we have a team of 25 girls in this area and 25 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They have their coach. We work together. And we're going to compete in January, so I will be there at the dance competition. And so I think that's it. So if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Afrita. Love.